Glory. Hallelujah. Let me at them. Let me at them, Lord. My goodness, what a marvelous, marvelous time of worship and song and praise. Amen. Well, it's good to see y'all this morning. If anyone has been praying for cold weather, now's the time to quit. Even though we do need cold weather. We do, whether you like it or not. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 21. I want to begin reading at verse 18, and we'll read through verse 22. Would you stand in reverence to the Word of God as I read it, please? Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you'll not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Heavenly Father, we're eternally grateful to you for the privilege, the joy, and the honor to gather together in the house of God in Central Baptist Church today and sing praises to your marvelous, mighty, magnificent name. And to ask, Father, that you would take the music that's been lifted in praise to you, that it has already lifted our spirits, and we can fix our focus upon you and upon your word, that you'll speak to hearts, challenge lives. I'd ask that you'd strengthen the weak, encourage the discouraged, lift up the fallen, and save those who are lost. We'll give praise, honor, and glory to that name that's above every name, the name that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, Jesus. Jesus, his holy name. I ask these things. Amen. When you begin reading the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew, we're all familiar with that it's the day that Jesus made his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets. And as he came, you know, they threw their cloaks and threw palm branches and did everything they could to cover the roadway for his animal to walk on. And the significance of that was they did the same thing. When the king or when the emperor came back from victorious battle, and they paved the way for him to come. But our Lord Jesus was fixing to go to a battle that he'd already won. Hallelujah. And they praised him, saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna! Glory to the Lord! Glory to the King! And the old Pharisees heard that, and they said, you hear what they're calling him? And he healed everyone they brought to him. And then he went in and cleaned out the temple. Single-handedly. Threw out all of those who were there only just to make money. They wasn't there to make a convenience for the worshipers who had traveled hundreds of miles, some of them, to come and to pay their homage to God at the temple. They were there to make money. And so he threw them out. And he left and spent the night in Bethany. And they came back that morning, in all probability, I'm just assuming as I read this, that Jesus was hungry. Nobody fixed him bacon and eggs for breakfast, or no biscuits. He had had nothing to eat. And he saw the fig tree. And he was going to take some fruit from that tree, and there was none on it. And the purpose of that tree was not just to furnish leaves. The purpose of that tree was to bear fruit, and there was none on it. And Jesus placed a curse on that tree, and in a half a heartbeat, it began to swivel up and die. And Jesus was teaching his disciples some very important principles on that day. But one that stood head and shoulders above all the others was for them to demonstrate their faith and their trust to God. Listen. He was impressing upon them, and I think the Word of God impresses it upon us, the importance of faith. It is important that you have faith. What is faith? Well, Hebrews 11 begins to give us a definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And in the sixth verse of that 11th chapter, the writer says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that believes he is knows that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, Jesus is saying, have faith in God. Have faith not only in God, but also have faith in your fellow man. John Patton, who was a missionary of ours, a Southern Baptist missionary, to the South Sea Islands, one of those South Sea Islands, took upon himself the task of translating the Bible into their language. And he was doing pretty good until he got to the place in the scripture where it says for a person to be saved, they have to place their faith and trust in Jesus. And he discovered that this language had no word for trust or faith. And he was racking his brain, his mind, and searching all the references he had at his disposal. And he found none. And while he was sitting at his desk one day, a native came in who had been running a long distance. And he flopped down in the chair and he said, it's good for me to rest my whole weight on this chair. And that was the thought that this missionary needed. He said, that's it. We'll say they have to rest their whole weight on God. Now God says in his word many things about trust. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Every year around graduation time, when I get these invitations from, most of them are from me pastoring either their parents or their grandparents. And this is a verse that I always put on every card that I send, every response that I send, to remind them that through life, if they'll just trust in God, put their whole weight on God, in all of your being, in everything about you, acknowledge that He is God, that He's the creator, the sustainer of this universe, and if we'll do that, He'll provide for us. You remember what Isaiah said in the 26th chapter of Isaiah, verses 3 and 4, when Isaiah says, "That will keep him in perfect peace." Perfect, complete peace. "Whose mind is stayed on you," on the Lord, "because he trusts in you." Now, faith is calling those things which are not as though they are, and whatever is not of faith is sin. Any walk that is less than a walk of faith is a sinful walk. Faith grows exceedingly, exceedingly fast, not by just a glimpse here and there, not by a look, but at a constant stare, a constant gaze upon Him. Keep our eyes fixed and focused on Him. And faith bids eternal truth to become fact. Faith is as much at home in the realm of the impossible as it is in the realm of the possible. Now let me share with you some things that faith must have. There's a lot of things faith must have, but I want to mention just four. Some things that faith has. Faith must have a foundation. The foundation of faith is not the church, as much as I love the church. The foundation of faith is on the principles of the Word of God. It's God's Word. It's the promises that God has in His Word that's a foundation for our faith. It's a paradox to me that some intelligent people will reject the truths of the Bible. We'll talk about it being an old, archaic book, and yet they'll go through the checkout counters of some of these grocery stores and some of these department stores, and they always put that stuff around at the checkout stand. They're called impulse items, and a lot of them still do, not as much as they used to. Had these they call them newspapers, but they're really rags. The Inquirer and stuff like that. And they read headlines like this. Dinosaurs honked like Buicks. Cow mattresses help cows produce more milk. A mom was on a diet of only chicken, and she lays a huge egg. World War II bomber is found on the moon. A woman gives birth to a 2-year-old baby, and the child walks in 2 days. Adam and Eve's bones were found in Asia. Eve was a space alien. People will read junk like that and believe that nonsense, but refuse to accept the evidence concerning the existence of God and Jesus Christ and the validity of the Word of God. It was by faith Abel worshiped God. It was by faith that Enoch walked with God. It was by faith that Noah worked with God. It was by faith that Abraham became what we refer to as the father of the faithful. It was by faith that Isaac blessed Joseph. Joseph looked into his father's face and blessed the nations. Moses turned his back on money and power and prestige to be the deliverer of Israel. And all of this was on faith, not blind faith, but faith on the revealed Word of God. Faith not only needs to have a foundation, but faith has to be free from all doubt. Faith is rooted in God's big fact, free from any doubt. Notice what he says there in verse 21. I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you'll not only do what's done to this fig tree, but say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. James tells us in the first chapter of James, verses 5 and 6, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men freely, to all men freely, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Faith also must have desire. Verse 22 says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, having a desire. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you know what it's like to really be hungry? Now, I'm not talking about being on one of these diets. I've been on all, you name them, I've been there. I've lost 1,000 pounds in my lifetime. And sometimes you get hungry. I'm not talking about that kind of hungry. I'm talking about real hunger. That's what the scripture's talking about. I was listening to Fred Lowry years ago, and he used this illustration, and it just illustrates the point I'm trying to make. This mother, young mother, went to Walmart to buy some groceries. She put her 4-year-old child in the buggy in the seat, and she went down the cookie aisle. Well, what you don't know, in case you don't know it, in the merchandising business, you always put the highest profit items aisle level or cart level. And all these children's favorite cookies were right on that boy's level. Mama hadn't taken 2 steps. Said, Mama, give me some cookies. She bought a package of Oreos. I like the black ones, but I like the yellow ones better. I don't know about you. And pretty soon he said, Mama, give me a cookie. She said, no, you can't have one. It's going to ruin your supper. We're going to go home and eat supper. Pretty soon, Mama, please give me a cookie. And it was all through that store. Mama, give me a cookie. Mama, I got to have a cookie. I got to have a cookie. She got up into the area for the checkout, and typical, 24 check stands, 6 checkers. Can I have a witness? And the lobby was full of people. This kid struggled, stood up in that chair, in that basket, and raised both hands, said, in the name of Jesus, would somebody get me a cookie? Now I want to tell you, that kid was hungry. He really was desperate for a cookie. Faith must have forgiveness as well. Jesus said in the 6th chapter of Matthew, verse 15, he said that if you come to the altar to give your gift, and you're out with your brother, give your gift, leave your gift and go get right with your brother. We have to forgive. And as a matter of fact, Jesus said, I'm going to forgive you in direct proportion as you forgive. How many times have you said, oh, I'm going to forgive them, but I won't forget it? That don't work. You say, well, it's impossible to erase it from your memory. I agree. But if you truly and honestly forgive that individual, when it comes up, you can say to the one who raises the fact, Lucifer, that's over and done with. There has to be forgiveness. Second thing about faith has some things that God will do. It just happens to be four things that God will do. Now, God does many things and can do many things, but I just want to mention what I feel are the four most important things that faith will do. First of all, faith will save a soul. It will save a soul. Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your relationship, a right relationship, begins with faith. That's taught all the way through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But we read a very clear account of it in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, where Paul says, if you'll believe in your heart, that involves faith, and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13 says, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, and listen, friend, when we're involved in that issue of dealing with sin in our life, I'm not talking about your sins, I'm talking about your sin. The sin of rejecting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Your sin of refusing to accept the sacrificial atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That's the sin that Paul is talking about. And when we confess our sin to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, John says in his first epistle, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Luke 17:19, as Jesus had cleansed 10 lepers, only one came back to give him thanks and to give him praise. And Jesus just simply asked the question, were there not 10? Where are the other 9? But he said to him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And then when Jesus was walking along the road, and there was always a crowd, and they were pressing on him, and people were calling out, and they just happened to pass a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus, and he heard that he was coming, and he made known what his need was, and he cried out. He didn't say, here I am, Lord. He said, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me and restore my sight. And Jesus stopped and said, bring him here. And he said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you whole. And in Luke 18:42, Jesus healed Bartimaeus and restored him. And he said it was his faith that made him whole. Also, faith in God will not only save your soul, but it'll purify your heart so you'll know the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now in Acts chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. Paul talks about that God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, those people who had received Jesus, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between the Jew and the Greek and the Gentile, purifying their hearts by faith. Faith in God will not only save you and not only purify your heart, but it'll give you character. You want to find out what Christian character is all about? Go back and restudy the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I have a series. I think I preached it when I was here 5 years ago. I won't tell you, if the Lord leads me, I'll preach it again. Any sermon that's worth preaching once, it's worth preaching twice. Amen. But if you want to find out the character of faith, you begin to read that hall of fame of faith. Great men and women of God. Were they perfect? No, sir. They all had, can I use this word? They all had their warts. If any of you girls have got a wart on your hand or arms, I guarantee you, you're going to try to camouflage it. Am I right? Mm-hmm. A wart's an unsightly looking thing. But we all have them. We all have those spiritual warts. But all of these great men and women of faith, they had a relationship with God because of their faith in Him. And it not only elevated them in a right relationship with God, not only cleaned them up and made them whole, not only made them feel the presence of God, but their presence was felt everywhere they went. Hallelujah. That's what it should be for us. Faith in God will hold you in the hour of crisis. Listen, friends, storms are going to come. There are some who will try to tell you that when you get saved, all your problems are over. There's not a bigger lie crawled out of the pits of hell than that. Because Jesus Himself said, in this life you will have tribulation. They're coming, and crisis will come. If you haven't had one in your life, in the life of your family, just buckle your seatbelt. It's coming. Because I've found that people fit in one of three categories. They're either in a storm right now, something's going on, that's a storm in your life, the life of your family. You either just got out of the storm, oh, peace, finally at last, or you're about to head in to a storm. Old Vance Havner told about an elderly lady who was greatly disturbed. She had a lot of things that were bothering her. Some were real, some were imaginary. Finally, her family told her in a kind way, kindest way that they could, Grandma, we've done all for you that we can possibly do. Now the only thing left for you to do is to trust in God. And she got a look of despair on her face, and she replied, oh dear, has it come down to that? And old Vance Havner said, it always comes down to that. So we might as well start at that to begin with. Faith in God is going to hold you firm even in death. That's what David said in the 23rd Psalm. Yea. Though, can I put in parentheses really what he's saying? Yea. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, I'll be with thee. Can I tell you, personal experience? I was there one time, right in the shadow of death, knowing what was going on, and knowing that, you know, I'm too young to die now, Lord. But you know what? There was no fear. Only peace. Only peace. And that's what David says will happen when we come to death. Now, you've got to put your listening ears on real good. Because I want to talk to you about four steps to have faith in God. So if you listen fast, I'll get them to you fast. First of all, exercise what you have. Now, we're not to pray and ask for faith. You already have that faith seed. All you have to do is exercise it. Exercise it. Oh, the last time I went to my cardiologist, little old skinny thing says, "Preacher, you got to get some exercise." I said, "Well, tell me how I can do it." I said, I can't walk for any distance. He said, "I'm going to tell you, there's 101 ways you can get some exercise, and you've got to strengthen your body by exercising, whether it's swimming, whether it's riding one of those stationary bicycles, or whether it's walking on a treadmill or some other device. You have got to use the strength that you have so you can build more strength." Amen? Well, if it's that way in the physical life, it's certainly that way in the spiritual life. Step number two is by studying the Word of God. I'm not just talking about reading your daily Bible reading. I'm talking about a study in the Word of God. Romans 10:17 reminds us, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Thirdly, ask God to help you in your areas of unbelief. Mark talks about it in the 9th chapter of Mark, verses 22 through 24. And oftentimes, this is a man who brought his son who was possessed with a demon. He had what people would say is leprosy. It cast, not leprosy. What am I trying to say? Had a senior moment. Yeah, that's it. Throws him into the waters to destroy him. Throw him into the fire. Now notice what he said. "But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Now, you use that little word, "if." That means maybe you can, maybe you can't. And Jesus said to him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe." He cut right to the heart of this guy. And I can hear him now, "Oh Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Give me the strength, give me the will to really trust in you." You believe God can do it? Number four, look away from yourself and the circumstances and keep your eyes fixed and focused on Jesus. That's what the writer of Hebrews means when he penned these words in the 12th chapter, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was before him, set before him. What joy? The joy of going to the cross. Can you imagine? The joy of going to the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I don't know about you, but I have some friends along the way, developed friendships of some people that I know pray for me. And when I call them and express a special prayer need, I've got all the confidence in the world to know that they're going to bring it before the throne of God. I remember a lady by the name of Grace, who was a member of the church that I had my membership in when I surrendered to preach. And on the day I was ordained, she came out and said to me, and she was a nurse. She looked like a nurse. I mean, she looked like a voice of authority. And she had a habit of when she was making a point, put that finger, almost put it on your nose, and say, "Young man, I want you to know something." I thought she was going to reveal some great truth to me. But she told me the best thing she could say, "I'm going to pray for you every day." 30 years later, I went and preached in view of a call at First Baptist Church of Delhi. She was sitting, Brother Jeb, right where you are. I said, "Looky there. There's Grace." And she came out by me. She said, "Brother Everett, you remember who I am?" "I certainly do, Miss Grace. Do you remember what I told you?" Just like that. I said, "I certainly do. You said you'd pray for me every day." She said, "I have. And God's already told me that you're going to be my pastor." Listen, friends. When it gets dark, have faith in God. When the sun's shining, have faith in God. When the blood pressure is high and the bank accounts are low, have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches over His own. I read about a tour guide who took tours in the Alps, and a man had got stranded on a huge mountain, and he went back to get him, and the weather got tough, but this guy kept climbing, but he died trying to save that man. And they erected a marker there where he died, and it just simply says this, had his name. And it just simply says these three words: "He died climbing." What about you? What about faith? Remember, the scripture reminds us that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible for you to be saved. You just simply have to take God at His word and ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you, make you a child of God. Without faith, you're not going to go any further in your Christian life than you've traversed so far. You keep exercising your faith. Guess what? Your faith muscles get strong. But if you don't keep exercising, atrophy sets in and you get weaker. Have faith in God. We're going to give an invitation. It's inviting any person in this place who's never given their heart to Jesus to do so today. Inviting you, if you are a guest and you're looking for a church home and God's Spirit has spoken to your heart, this is the place. You come. God's spoken to you as a child of God, a faithful member, and a tender of this church. There are some areas in your life where your faith needs to be strengthened. Could I invite you to come kneel at the altar? Do business with God. However the Spirit of God leads, you do it. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being able to share this message. And Lord, I know it's not my message, it's yours. Now, Father, you've already spoken to hearts. And the devil will do everything he can to keep people from publicly responding to the unction of the Holy Spirit of God. Have your way, Father, in every heart, in every life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand? Don't wait for the second verse. You come right now. God's already spoken. There's nothing else needs to be said.
Tis so sweet.
Thank you, brother.
To trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how
tell you, friends, the Holy Spirit of God is moving in this place. Don't resist the Spirit of God. He'll only lead you to do something that will be beneficial to you. Just let him have your way. Now I'm going to ask Brother Tim to sing the next verse. If no one comes, you got to close the invitation, not I. It's your choice. You do what the Spirit of God already impressed you to do on this next verse.